to the bonus level.
Hello again, and welcome back to the Bonus Level Podcast. I'm Jack, and alongside me this week, surprise, surprise, Josh and Luch, for level 36 of the Bonus Level Podcast. Thanks again, and let's get right into it. So this week, we're going to be talking about books, and books on paper, and books on screen, and books in many fonts, and books that are turned into movies, and books that are turned into TV shows, and games, and TV shows that are turned into books, et cetera, et cetera. And I just put myself to sleep just then. I don't know about you guys, but, growing up, that's pretty much, if I wasn't playing outside or playing a sport, I was reading books. That's all I did inside, and growing up north, 6 months out of the year, you really could only go outside if you want to go play in the snow and be miserable. So I was inside a lot during the winter and read a lot of books, down to the fact that, I'd take books to school and read on, in my, free time, like the free classes and study classes, things like that. And, in fifth and sixth grade, I got like chided by my math teacher for reading J.R.R. Tolkien, because it was so far advanced for like our reading level at the time. Now I'm going to have a little humble brag here, but in fifth grade, I was in fourth and fifth grade, I was reading at like what was considered an 11th and 12th grade level. So like I was reading all of these like high school, AP Lit books, and my middle school teachers were like, we're like trying to read like, James and the Giant Peach in school. And I'm like, are you kidding me? James and the Giant Peach, really?
Exciting stuff.
Yeah, so let's talk about some books. Well, we're going to talk about whether or not you think the physical books, the physical copies of books, are a upward trending commodity or a downward trending commodity. But first, I want to hear some history of yourselves and books.
So, like a history of the books that we like to read?
Yeah. I mean, like, did you grow up reading books? Did you grow up getting your, books read to you? When did you stop reading a book? That kind of thing,
Okay, so
when did you realize you weren't smart enough?
I was homeschooled and I wasn't allowed TV during the week. Okay. So, I read a few times.
All right. So what were you reading as a young child?
Well, I'm trying to remember like we went to the library a lot as kids and stuff like that. And it was, generally a bunch of random things. The first couple series that I remember reading, Luch is probably way too old for this, but it was the Culpepper Adventure series.
We're
too young for this. The Culpepper Adventure series by Gary Paulsen. It was about a duo, Duncan Amos.
Yeah.
That was my shit. It's like the books were, 60 or 70 pages long. Mm-hmm. It was just about two friends that I think it was Amos was like the goofy one and Dunk was like the one that would kind of get him out of trouble and stuff like that. And it was just a bunch of a goofy stuff or whatever. But that one ended up, that series had, I think it said 35 total books that. So, but that was one that I remember that I would be checking it out from the library and I would read it before we got home 15 minutes later.
Yeah.
And so like when I first discovered it, it was incredible because it was like, I grabbed 10, 15 books at a time and take them home from the library. And that would last me a little while. But then once I kind of caught up to the time, which this was, these books came out in 92, 93, 94. So I would have been 7, 8, and 9 at that point. That those were like my starter ones until I was a giant Animorphs nerd.
I was hoping somebody was going to say that.
I obsessed over those books. Mm-hmm. Like everything, like I had down to a science, like what creature I would be, and you know, all this kind of, like
it was
all this
sad kind of man. Do you, all right. Do you remember when Tobias got stuck in the form of a hawk?
Yes.
Permanently. That was like the saddest thing that I've ever read. It was so
until
sad.
Until you realize like that's actually the smartest move anyone could have done. Except their lifespan's not that long, but it's like,
yeah.
Why on earth would I want to be a teenager? I could just be a hawk the rest of my life.
Dude. But it was like, you know, they're in the middle of the battles and stuff, and you can only stay in the animal for like so long before you like
the 2-hour time mark. If you'd stayed in over 2 hours.
I thought it was 24 hours.
I didn't even think it was that long. I thought it was something much, much shorter.
Huh, I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, he got stuck and had to be a hawk permanently.
Yeah.
And he was like in love with the one other girl, and then they like couldn't be together because he was a hawk.
Damn, that series was so, so good.
Oh shit, that's funny.
I remember the Animorphs. One thing that when you say Animorphs, and one thing that sticks out to me is I never actually read the book, mm-hmm. but it was the alien one and the cover of it.
Oh yeah,
where it was like alien. It was half alien, half horse.
Is that that weird thing? And it had like the weird tail with the
blade
on it.
Well, that was the alien himself. He was blue,
he was their friend,
like, half human top. Then he had like the deer body with a scorpion mm-hmm. tail.
Yeah,
but his face was all.
But he was their friend, right?
Yeah,
yeah. He was the one that was their friend.
It always looks so strange to me. Like it's so different. Like the book can paint your own image of what something looks, but then when an artist has a rendition of it, it's like.
Yeah, different. It's completely different.
Well, and was a huge thing for, because I think the one that had the actual alien, their friend, on the front was way down the line, like probably book 20 or something. I don't even know how many was in that.
They had so many.
But, but so this whole time through 20 books, you have a picture of what this guy is in your head. And then all of a sudden they pay an artist to draw it. And you have
okay.
I mean, but who knows? Like some kids are probably like, that's even cooler than I imagined. Yeah. But I'm sure with most people, it's the same kind of way they feel about a lot of things from their books being turned into stuff. It's just like, what the fuck is that?
That'll be something that we, you know, that we talk about later down the line when we talk about books being turned into media, because you have these expectations of the creation and what it, the picture that it's being painted in your head. Mm-hmm. And then you see it, you know, based on somebody else's rendition of what they think it should look like.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, wait a minute, that's not how I pictured it at all. So it's so that's very, very interesting when it comes to books into media, but we'll get there. So, you know, is there any other like notable series that you can remember or like notable books that you remember reading?
Captain Underpants.
See, that's my kids are reading those and everything. No, there was a huge book series before they realized that they could turn it into cartoons and
grab Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Oh, see, God. Those I've got all those movies for my boys, and I think that we've read some of the books here and there. I think my oldest one has started reading those. But like as far as kid books, like that was the main thing. It was once I got older, like I was in college when I started the Dark Tower series and Stephen King books and stuff. But I think that was the last time that I really read series books.
Okay. All right. So we'll get into like your later teen and adult books. We'll go back around again, but I want to stick with the kids books. So we have
Goosebumps, obviously.
A couple different. So Luch, you read Goosebumps.
Oh yeah. I love Goosebumps.
Okay. Goosebumps were another series that I read a lot of.
I was not allowed to for religious reasons.
Yeah, well, same. Wait, I just read them. I just read them at school.
Yeah,
naughty boy.
Mm-hmm. I'd go to the library and like I wouldn't check the book out. I wouldn't check the book out. I would just read it during my.
Oh yeah, because you can't have a paper trail.
Yeah, so I read it during my study period and then just put it back and then pick it up the next day.
Sponge and. Oh man, I remember The Mask. Oh god, that one was like
The Mask. You're talking about the Halloween one?
Yes.
Where the girl puts it on and it becomes her face.
And it's like that, but do you remember the cover of it? Mm-hmm. I remember scary. it struck fear into my
green soul. And green and purple.
Yeah, and then it had big teeth on it.
Teeth and big bulbous eyes.
That was terrifying.
What about what's in the basement or Dunko in the basement? Do you remember that?
Oh,
that
which one's that?
The one with the cover was the leafy hand.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The dad was a botanist, and he was turning himself into a plant.
Sounds like a good thing to do.
He ended up being a whole plant.
Which one? I can't remember the title. The one where it's the kids or this girl, or it was this family who were the kids were investigating their teacher or something for being a monster. And
oh yeah.
Then they invited the teacher over, and then the parents ate him.
Yeah.
Huh.
The teacher was a werewolf or something, but they were aliens.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. There's so many good ones.
Oh, one of the most
Arl Stein's the goat.
Unsettling one was the superhero one. Just unsettling.
I don't remember that one. What was it called? I don't remember.
Hang on, Chives.
Egg Monsters from Mars.
Egg Monsters from Mars. No, there were so many different really good Goosebumps.
Yeah, how many were there in that series? I just looked up. Animorphs had 54.
54. Goosebumps. Yeah, I'm not sure. The Mutants.
Attack of the Mutant.
No, I don't remember that one. That must have been later in the series.
Yeah, it was the guy looked like a superhero, and the kid believed he was a superhero, but he was actually a super villain. But they just made him so unsettling,
mm-hmm.
right? He's this creepy guy who dresses up and
Brightburn.
Yeah, pretty much. It was just
What else? What other series are just notable books?
There's one other one I can't remember off the top of my head. But it had very crude drawings on it.
Manga.
Bruh, that's later teen stuff. No, yeah. I guess I watched, I read Dragon Ball and Rurouni Kenshin and stuff on manga before.
No, see, that's the thing. I never did the manga thing. Mine was, so we would go to the library a whole lot, of course, being homeschooled kids. It was something to get you out of the house and do. And so if I didn't have my book series type books to read, which, like I said, the main ones that I remember were the Duncan Amos and then the Animorphs. And I'm sure that I read a couple different ones that I just have forgotten about over time. But then it was just go and find. A lot of mine were standalone superhero books. I remember finding these 400 and 500 page Spider-Man and Batman books that didn't have any pictures. It was just some novel about them that I really, really liked those things, but I couldn't even tell you one of their names or anything.
Hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Luce, did you find anything else?
No, I couldn't find the name.
Are you doing anything else? Okay. Yeah. So, for me, I have such an eclectic story arc. So, mm-hmm. When I was really little, I read things like the Berenstain Bears, right?
Yeah.
That was
same
early. Dr. Seuss, of course, things like that. That's when I'm, whatever, 4 or 5. 4, 5, 6, maybe. I don't remember. Anyways, going from there, I went pretty quickly through those kinds of books into things like the Hardy Boys. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do remember.
That was a huge, huge series. I mean, so many books. There was the Hardy Boys when they were kids, and they're the old, super old school ones. And I really, really liked those because they were two detectives and,
Yeah.
Frank and Joe Hardy. Anyway, then they went into those books got into the when they got a little older and they were more teenage style. So the drama and danger was a little bit more serious in some of their older books. But then also Animorphs, Goosebumps, things like that around the same time as the Hardy Boys. I tried to read the Nancy Drew series, even though it was obviously around a girl detective, but I couldn't get into that. But then I actually started reading reading the the single pieces, like the classic Count of Monte Cristo, Treasure Island.
Yeah.
You know, things like that were just super, what are they like, you know, period books, I guess, like classics.
Yeah.
You know, you're like Moby Dick, Last of the Mohicans, like things like that.
Exactly. Did you have like the colorful colored cover ones that were the Disney version or something? Well, not like a Disney movie version, but I remember like we had those. They were like a thicker set of you know, hardback books
They had like nicer covers, but they're
almost
really
like remastered for kids or something.
Correct. I don't think they have illustrations in them though. I don't think they had like one every chapter or something like
the 90s.
Like
they didn't bother drawing in books back then.
But yeah, so like those kinds of books.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I progressed through, you know, well, obviously back then too, I was also reading like Lord of the Rings and Star Wars books. I mean, I remember once I realized that like Star Wars was actually books and not just the movies.
Oh my God. All these standalone books.
Jack, we could talk all night about like Star Wars lore and the books that come with them, especially the non-canon stuff that should be canon.
Mm-hmm. So I especially liked the X-Wing series after, the X-Wing series was really good. Like, what's his name? I'm going to blank on his name. One of the main, not, why do I keep wanting to say Chip? It wasn't Chip.
Dale.
No, what was his name? Anyways, one of the X-Wing pilots had his own like series, but more importantly, the Skywalker books, like whenever they made like the Jedi Order and Skywalker's kids, Mara and, what was his name? Damn it. Anyways, here I am just blanking on all of these kids' names. But Mara Jade was, I think, one of Luke and whoever her face's kids. Mm-hmm. But I actually named Zyra. This is funny because she's a dog.
Are you talking about Rogue Squadron?
Maybe.
Wedge?
Wedge, that's it. Wedge Antilles, yes. Thank you. But Mara Jade from Star Wars, I named Zyra Jade after her. So fun fact.
Nice. Yeah. Very fun fact. I didn't even know that.
Mm-hmm. I thought Zyra was named after a plant monster in League of Legends.
Well, this is the Zyra
first
part.
Name. Yeah.
But the Jade part is from... Anyways, since I've read that, I always wanted, if I ever had a daughter, I wanted to name her Mara Jade because I actually like that. But so like through those, then books like Dragonheart, and some other like standalone books that ended up becoming movies, which we will talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I kept kind of reading those kinds of books until I got to the point where I needed to read adult fiction, like the Tom Clancy books, you know, Michael Crichton.
Yeah. Michael Crichton, like, that opens up a whole... I think I read everything by that dude.
Michael Crichton ones, Tom Clancy's, the Jack Ryan books. Who else? There was a Dirk... What was his name? Dirk Diggler? No. See, this is like... this is a rabbit hole.
From Boogie Nights.
Dirk Diggler?
Yeah, wasn't he? Yeah.
Is it? Anyways, there's a whole rabbit hole of just different. What is it?
Dirk Pitt?
No.
Yeah, Dirk Diggler is the name of the guy that Mark Wahlberg plays in Boogie Nights.
Is it really? That's so funny. that's so funny.
Tell where your brain is.
Yeah. Right. Michael Crichton, and you know all of those. Then I started reading like the Stephen King and like more horror novels.
Mm-hmm.
And then somewhere along that line, I discovered video games. No, I'm just kidding. not video games in general, but I think I was in college and, I discovered Counter-Strike and we were playing like Halo more competitively and every free second went from reading a book to trying to beat somebody's face in a video game.
Yeah.
PhD in archaeology.
So Luke, anthropology. Luke, how old are you?
26.
26. Okay, so yeah, so you're a decade behind us. So like in, so
not as, quite. In, don't age us that far, jeez.
I mean, pretty much, but because like I mean, when I'm going through the book series and stuff that I read, like most of those were from 92 to 97 is when those things came out. You know, it's funny. I mean, that he did read Goosebumps. That was, like I said, I was not allowed to because of the magical stuff. I did pull the trick that you did on certain things. There were some that I decided to take the risk on, or the covers didn't have crazy stuff on it, so I could get away with it. If my parents didn't know what was in it. But I'm curious as to what all Luch's reading history was.
So after like that period, I moved on to like things like graphic novels and stuff like that, right? So I couldn't stand reading a novel, right? Like middle to high school, like I couldn't just read a novel. Like in terms of Star Wars, like, you know, they had the Darth Malak graphic novels, and then they had oh my god, Jack, help me out here. The guy with the mask, purple lightsaber, was a Jedi, then went Sith. Revan.
Darth Revan. Yeah.
Darth Revan. Probably the coolest character in any Star Wars, like, to me. Just total badass.
I just like that name for a villain, too. But, right?
Dude, it's so good.
Awesome. But,
so
like, good. People, like, I would never know, like, the whole Sith lineage without the books. Right? Because it's like, you know, here, you know, Darth Vader, you know, Darth Sidious, you know, they're these two bad guys, they're bad guys. And it's like, dude, man, like the Sith, like, Empire, man, it's like, first of all, they have nothing to do with the Empire, right? The Sith were their own people, you know, their own culture and everything like that. The Empire was just a way for them to, you know, conquer the galaxies. Like, they were like, the Empire was, you know, haughty British people. Yes. But they serve the Sith, you know, because the Sith were all about power. And it's like, it's like, you know, the pupil will surpass the master, like, you know, Jedi's train Padawan to become Jedi's, and Sith train their own apprentices. And then the apprentice either kills the master or the apprentice dies.
Yeah.
Because you were too weak. And there are tons of them. It's like, I never would have known like the Sith backstory, or that the Sith were their own like alien race and all this kind of stuff without the books. And it kind of sucks that the actual movies never really went too deep into it. I would have loved to see the Old Republic, a movie about the Old Republic.
Yeah. So what is it? So you were saying, though, that once you did Goosebumps, you got into the graphic novels, and you said that you would read the Star Wars series, but why'd you say that the Star Wars ones were an exception to your not reading novels?
They weren't just really because novels. They were cool? They were graphic novels.
Okay.
So they're more like lengthy comic books, I guess.
So did you feel like that was something that a lot of your friends were the same way, or did you have friends that were reading like Jack and I, and you just
like, no, we were video gaming. You got to understand, like, you know, cause you know, obviously I'm a youngin, you know, compared to you guys. I don't remember what you said, Josh, but I think you said that I was like four decades younger than you.
Yeah. Pretty close.
But like, you know, when I was a kid, it's like, oh, here's a Nintendo 64. Right. Yeah. Like, you know, parents were realizing, oh my God, we can make our kids shut up with this device. So I pent up in my room, and I played video games at an early age, you know, before I would read books for like, you know, school and stuff like that, or anything that piqued my mind, but I was never really interested in reading until a later date.
Yeah.
I went from like always did video games to regular books for school and stuff like that, and just stuff that piqued my interest. And comic books to like graphic novels, you know, Lord of the Ring, obviously, it's amazing.
Oh, no, it's weird, like hearing you talk about it, because you know, I mean, I've wondered this, you know, because I got my own boys that are 7 and 9, and neither, I mean, they're kind of getting into reading, mainly my older one. Like he's a very good reader and stuff like that, but for the most part, like unless I give him homework. Today you have to read for 20 minutes a day or whatever. He's not going to read. Once he starts reading, he enjoys it. I mean, it's kind of the same way that I feel like it probably was for Jack and I, in a way where it was like we almost started reading out of boredom because we weren't – he didn't have cable. I didn't have cable. I wasn't allowed TV during the week. We could watch on the weekends, but for a maximum of 2 hours, and there's 48 hours in a weekend. So I had to fill in that time somehow. Like you said, you know, you try to play outside as much as you can, which I did living in the South. You get more months to do that. But then you know, there's nighttime, there's cold months and stuff like that, that it was, you would start reading out of boredom. But then, I mean, once you got into like a good series, that's when it was hard to stop. Like, give me book 14 in the Animorphs series. And it's like, no, I'm going to the library every day. When's this next one come out? We didn't have Google back then. I can't Google, when's this book coming out? It was every day I go to the library and they're like, oh, check. It's you again. And I'm like, no, hey, do you have this? Do you have this book in? It's got like these people and they're turning into animals. Can you look it up for me? You know,
the same thing I told you yesterday.
You know, like, so we had to resort to books out of almost boredom, but then we kind of fell in love with them that way, where, you know, I'm wondering how much of an effect being able to have access to, I mean, like I just Googled it. Nintendo 64 came out when I was 11 years old. I remember I rented it from Blockbuster for my 11th birthday. We went and rented a Nintendo 64. So, and got all the controllers and we played Wave Race with, oh with me and my friend. That amazing. Was my 11th Wave birthday, you know? Amazing. So like, that's how different, like now, I mean, in my room alone, I have 3 computers, 2 TVs, 2 iPads, a phone, and Xbox, a Wii, like in one room in my house. That's right. What I have. Like, how many books? There's a few in here, but you know, overall, like
they're underneath the monitors to hold the monitors up,
right? To kind of balance things out. So that's what's, you know, just the amount of access that my kids have to this fun stuff compared to the other. Like when, you know, I think I said recently that my oldest one started reading the Harry Potter series, and it's,
oh, that's also another series. Sorry.
We're doing, he listened to the first one on audio on the ride down to Florida to go see you guys the other day. And we finished it on the way up. And so now what he's doing is he's doing half and half. So he reads a chapter and then he can listen to a chapter if he wants to. But then he has to read a chapter before he gets to the next one. And so that way it forces him to read more. Cause I don't know. Like, I feel like in some ways, you know, with kids, you want them to read because you want their reading skills to improve. And it's like, I look at this kid and he reads as good as I do at this point. Like, it's ridiculous, you know? I feel deep down that there are some good qualities, possibly that you gain over your lifetime by reading more and stuff. So I don't know.
But I don't think like books are, you know, like, you know, it's great for like the reading skills and everything like that. But like, I mean, what I think the big thing about books and why I wish that I read more growing up is, it, you know, it helps build a good way to imagine things in your mind. Right. So like video games, TV, cartoons, comic books, all that kind of stuff, they already give you an image. Yeah. You can't really, and it's kind of stuck there. You can't really, it's hard to picture something in your head when it's already.
Yeah, it's like, here's this character. Here's what they look like. Here's this character. Here's this weird creature. And instead of describing them in 3 pages, it's here's a picture. You
know, that, yeah. I think that entertainment will decline. Kind of going forward, I think that's, you know, a lot of remakes are coming out of movies and, you know, some originality is being lost. I think that has a big part about it.
I don't, I mean, like, so I've thought about that, but at the same time, they do such a good job with things like with Jumanji's a remake. You know, I don't know if it was a book before. It probably was, like most things.
When you try to put the new Jumanji and good writing it together, all I can think about is that scene with Kevin Hart and the pound cake.
See, I don't think, like, when you say Jumanji, though, I don't think of the new Jumanji. I think of the original with Robin Williams.
Yeah. You know, and so there's the original, so but then they remade it and everything. But it's not like that they're – it's not like – I feel like that we had back in the day where people were throwing out remakes or sequels to things, and they were just utter trash. That they were just going like the Scorpion King 4. It's like, okay, you're just using that name as a tag – for maybe people that saw the first one and go, oh, I need to see the fourth one.
No.
You know, or something like that. But like now I don't feel like any of the remakes that I've seen of anything has been lackluster. I feel like that they've done a really good job with stuff. And so I'm excited to kind of see where things are going.
What I'm trying to say is that there isn't like originality coming for their own creations, right? It's so hard to make a Lord of the Rings, a Harry Potter, a Star Wars, those kind of things, even like Goosebumps, Arl Stein, a series from like Stephen King's. Mm-hmm. They're making movie renditions of it, you know, which is awesome. But like you don't really see that kind of stuff coming out. And if there does come out, it's once every couple of years. You have like The Walking Dead, you know, stuff like that coming out. But I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like books help kids kind of like use their imagination and kind of put forth their own ideas and put pictures in their head, into their head of how.
Yeah. I mean, that was always something that I remember parents talking about was, you know, the benefits of reading and stuff like that. Was it helped, you know, grow an active imagination and those type things that, I mean, yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with that. I mean, it seems to do it.
When Jack writes his stuff for D&D, like, you know, all that stuff comes from like, you know, even though he might not remember it off the bat, like he's read a bunch of books growing up. A lot of the things with Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, everything like that. He's kind of got an image in his head on how things should write out and proper plots and everything like that. Like, you know, I'm pretty sure if you gave Jack, you know, 2 hours and told him to write a short story synopsis or like a short book based on the events of what would happen in Clavania, I'm sure he could pop up something out with proper, you know, grammar and verbiage going out to make it seem like a story.
Of course.
Right. And like, but that's, he has the knowledge to do so. And even though it was a long time ago that he, you know, read.
It's all based on the books that I've read.
It's like muscle memory in your brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Books that I've read, media that I've seen, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. But again, like when it comes to like the thing about books is, you know, movies, it's like we're watching Castlevania, right? When Alucard fights Trevor, you know, you're looking at all these, you know, whip attacks, right? And like, you mm-hmm. know, Alucard's doing flips, using spells, doing all kinds of badass things. And while the kids are watching that, and then they're like, now go ahead and put that on paper. Oh, he hit him with his whip. And then Alucard went whoosh and hit him with the sword. And,
yeah,
but then in book it'd be like, you know, Trevor uses leverage on and so on and so forth to describe by detail on how Trevor fought Alucard and how Alucard fought Trevor.
Yeah.
Not just whoosh, clang, cling, you know, and that's where I feel is a big difference in some things.
I don't know. I agree with you on so much of that. I'm curious because they're, you know, with a lot of things we kind of have in our head what we think the answer might be, and then there's also, you know, times where we get some scientific fact for things, and I don't know any of the kind of scientific facts that we have behind reading and not reading or reading. Like, I mean, cause I can understand like my 7-year-old, he is starting to read. He hates it with a passion. So it's kind of a bit of a struggle for him. So I could see where the benefits of him reading every day, really help him out. Where my oldest kid reads so incredibly well, like with Jack, he's so above his reading level with these kind of things that it's like, how much is me making him read 20 minutes a day helping him? Or is that more of a discipline thing that I'm teaching him or, you know, something like that? It's more of a training thing, just getting used to it. Just do it over and over and over again. Maybe you'll get faster at it or, you know, something like that more than it is like, reading comprehension or building imagination.
That kind of thing is more like a practiced skill where, you know, like you, if you ever don't do something for a long time, you're not as good at it. Like you don't just, I mean, you pick it up like riding a bicycle. That's a phrase. But at the same time, you're not going to be as proficient as you were when you're doing it for hours and hours a day. Like it's just bottom line.
Yeah.
So like I never look back and be like, man, I wish I wasn't made to read so much.
No,
never. You know what I mean? Like it's something that like you were saying that, you know, once you were made to read and you're like, you were told like, all right, you have to, you know, you have quiet time or whatever it might be. Yeah. And you have to, you know, read a book or something like that. You know, you end up getting into it and then you're like, the hours fly by and you're like deep into a book.
Oh yeah.
I used to stay till like
hiding under the covers of the flashlight.
I used to stay up until like 2-3 o'clock in the morning, even later, like just like reading.
Yeah.
And my parents would like come to like check to see if I was sleeping and I'd like shut the light off and pretend, then like turn it back on and keep reading.
You're so naughty.
I know. Dude,
that was the 90s. That was stuff that only happened back then.
I will say, I don't think you can force a kid to read. I don't think that's good. One reason being is like, I remember like book reports were like the worst thing in the world for me.
That's different. That's different. Having homework to read is different than being like, all right, you need to, you know, read a book to, you know, spend some time. You're like, we don't want you bouncing off the walls or whatever. You know, it's gross and rainy outside. Like you can stay inside and read a book, be creative. And if I wouldn't have done that, like you were saying, if I wouldn't have read so much, I wouldn't have stayed ahead of like my reading. You know, it's always going to catch up to you if you don't stay ahead of it.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you know, like I wouldn't be anywhere near as creative as I am now, just based on video games and movies alone. Like, I'm sorry. There's something very unique about reading without a visual and making that visual for yourself. Because you literally have to take the words off the paper and create an image in your head. And that's what your brain does. And that's a lot different than like watching the Avengers and just seeing every little piece of anything that you saw a picture of come to life. Like it's way different. Yeah, it's cool. It's awesome. It's, you know, it's mind stimulating, but it's nothing like reading, you know, a Star Wars novel and imagining the lightsaber battle that's happening. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like seeing it in your head and versus seeing it on a screen. It's completely different. Same with Lord of the Rings, things like that.
Yeah, there were a couple different ones, and because I remember it more. I mean, like as a kid, it's really hard for me to pull from those memories really well. But you know, when I got older and I started reading, like at my college level, I was still reading a lot for fun. It was after college that I basically never picked up another book.
Because video games.
Yeah, well, and that was a crazy thing is I still had a lot of video games in college, but I was still reading a lot of series. Like I read every book by Chuck Palahniuk, the writer of Fight Club. I read every Michael Crichton book, the guy that did, you know, Jurassic Park and, you know, Congo and Sphere and all these kind of things. I read every book by Stephen King books, the Dark Tower series and stuff like that. Orson Scott Card, the guy that did Ender's Game and Ender's Shadow.
Have you guys heard of Ted Dekker?
No, before? I don't think so.
Luch, you? No?
I haven't.
Ted Dekker, yeah. He's probably one of my favorite authors. Like contemporary-ish, I guess. Some kind of...
It looks really cool.
Yeah, Ted, he has a lot of really cool. Do you guys remember the movie Devil? About the elevator?
Yeah. It's a who directed that? Was that a M. Night Shyamalan one?
I think he might have had a part in it. I'm not sure, but it's just the whole thing takes place in the elevator and they're trying to figure out which one of them in there is the devil.
Yeah.
And it ends up being the old lady. Oh, spoiler. Spoiler alert. Sorry if you haven't seen it. It ends up being one of them in there. And that was a book based, that was a Ted Dekker book.
Okay.
Or was that, I think, one second, just let me double check my facts here because this isn't a job for Tribes. This is a job for me. There was that one. And then there was another one that was made into a movie called Three. And then there was also one of his called Blink that was actually made into a movie with Nicolas Cage. called Next. Do you remember the movie? The movie Next with Nicolas Cage, where he knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, yeah, the time hopping one type situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he knew what was going to happen, like next to in any given situation. Yeah. So he was able to like try to. But that was based on a book by him.
Interesting. Did you guys ever read Tucker Max?
Mm-mm.
Oh my goodness, Tucker Max was the shit when I discovered his books. It's basically a collection of short stories of this one guy that basically talking about his stupid degenerate activities on trying to pick up women when he was in college and stuff, and like the hilarity that ensued on his different dates. That kind of stuff, like, oh my God, all of his books were freaking, because they're all apparently true stories. Like, he'll throw in different you know, pieces of evidence, you know, is the only kind of pictures that I'll ever include with things to prove that the stories were real. And they're just absolute insane stories that all apparently happened to him and stuff. So those were, that was my fun reading if I wasn't reading something scary or gruesome or dark. Do you guys ever read Ender's Game?
I have not. I do want to take it back. Not Devil. Devil was M. Night Shyamalan. I was thinking of a different book by him. It was The Next and the movie Three. Or there's two of him by Ted Decker. But anyway, continue. Mm. Sorry.
No, I was just wondering if you guys had read Ender's Game. That was that's one of my favorite books. It's one of the only books that I've read more than once that was like a large novel. Like,
I've heard about it a bunch.
Like, I got, well, the crazy thing is, so you have Ender's Game follows the character Ender and his whole story. So I read that one. Then there's a book called Ender's Shadow, which basically follows a second character throughout the same exact story that you read in Ender's Game, but it from a different person's perspective as they go through the whole thing. So like they don't meet until like halfway through. So you get a little bit of some new storyline and stuff like that. Well, then once I finished that, I was liked it so much. I went back and reread Ender's Game again. Mm-hmm. It's like,
gotcha.
That one was just so fun to me. And that movie was not the same.
Well, here I do want to change gears a little bit because we've been just pretty much just ogling over all the different amazing books that we've read this whole time. Mm-hmm. So, in your opinion, what do you think? Do you think over the past 10 years, the with the rise of technology, that physical copies of books and the sale of books and libraries' effectiveness, et cetera, has gone down?
I would have to think so. I mean, just in my personal consumption of books, I made a dent when I stopped buying books and reading books. I made a dent when I stopped. That's how much I was going through.
I think with the introduction of digital books and ebooks, as well as audiobooks. I think those right now, compared to what people are like today, I think those are better alternatives. I know my library's struggling hard right now. But I do, for some reason, if I was to go back and read, I don't know what it is about it, man. Like, especially like a paperback and like the smell of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Take mm-hmm. a whiff of a book, right? It's like, oh man, you got some of that good kush, or what? It's like, nah, man, this is the haunted mass goosebumps.
Good kush. How good can it be? This is the dollar store.
Exactly where I picked up the haunted mass, like R.L. Stein.
So while I agree with you that, you know, with technology's rise, you have, you know, this, the rise of e-readers, Kindles, things like that, right?
Yeah.
So therefore, you would have to think that the sale of physical books, physical copies of books, would have gone down. Now, while that's true from initially with the surge of e-books, like when the Kindle and the Amazon Fire and like all those things first came out and e-books started to like hit the craze of like, oh man, I could have 5,000 books on my tablet. You know, I don't have to go carry a physical copy around anywhere. When that kind of came out, it was kind of this huge thing. And, you know, libraries and bookstores, Barnes and Noble, things like that, had to find alternative ways to make money, which is why you had the introduction of music and, you know, magazines and other things that they really started pushing, you know, games and puzzles and all kinds of other stuff, right? That you saw that, but after that, we've actually seen a 3% increase in the past 10 years in physical copies of books being sold.
So I'm curious with this stat. Is that a 3% increase in books sold over, you know, the entire world? Are we talking about like, because if you're looking at how many books are sold this year compared to 10 years ago, and you're saying there's a 3% increase.
3% since 2013, so the past 6 years.
But see, does that have anything to do with per capita? Because, I mean, if you're talking about like...
No, that's the overall physical coffee industry. So in 2018, physical book sales were almost $1 billion. So $675 million.
Yeah. But see, like I say, I think that the reason that we could maybe say that there's more books being sold is we just have more humans on this planet compared to what we had in the past.
No, because that's an increase in their overall sales versus the previous years. Look, yeah, I mean, Right. Well, the population's growing, but it also is rapidly changes as far as that goes. And the real reason that it's increasing is because so ebooks, they can't put them on sale. Like Amazon is not a lot, like they can't cut the price on an ebook, but they can cut it on a physical copy. So a lot of people are buying a physical copy because they're cheaper. And also because people are now starting to not want to be on their phones as much, their tablets as much. And now even more so, it's becoming the hipster thing. So it was the hipster thing. It was like, oh, well, I have my Kindle and I got all these books on my Kindle and I can sit at Starbucks and read. But now that like was a trend and now it's too cool to do that. Yeah. So now you want to be cool by not having that and having an actual book to read. And that's the way people look at it.
That makes sense. I mean, like I said, I was curious. Like, I wasn't trying to argue it with you because I don't know the numbers or anything like that. I was just trying to think of, you know, what the difference is, like, you know, books sold like per capita. And so, I mean, because like I said, I mean, I've stopped buying books almost completely unless like there's something spectacular happens or like, you know, for my kids. And that's where I think that the numbers are probably staying fairly steady is going to be with like kids and their school readers and like the school book fair. You know, every time the school book fair comes around, it's like, here's $20, like go pick out your books, you know, and they'll come with a stack of books. Normally they're ones with the toys strapped to the front and lots of pictures more than words and, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, at least we're having something to kind of go through.
Yeah, of course.
That I think things are staying pretty steady with that. But, I mean, like I said, with me, like I haven't done anything other than audiobooks. And I mean, I'm trying to remember without reading with my kids, what was the last book that I actually read? And I think it's probably been 10 years since I've actually physically sat down and, well, actually I take that back. So I've had to do reading for,
real estate.
Work type stuff. We're more of like, I don't consider my textbooks, those I wouldn't consider like in the reading category. But a friend of mine, you guys know Matt Cummings, that we play video games with on occasion when he's around. But anyways, his dad wrote a book, called The Sensational Salesman. And I read his book that he wrote. I have a copy. I actually bought a copy.
Nice.
So, yeah, that was one that I actually really enjoyed that one. And it's a really good kind of motivational sales leadership and personal development type book and everything. So yeah, those were the ones that I read after college was personal development type books that I wrote kind of once I got into the sales field or read when I got to the sales field and that kind of thing. But yeah, just for like fun fictional type things, I haven't done that shit in ages.
This is a funny, this is an interesting stat. Yes. So
give it to me.
Give it to me now. Let's see. So 67% of consumers that have read a book in the past year read a physical copy of a book.
How many?
67%.
Huh.
Out of the ones polled that actually read a book, 67% read a physical copy of a book. Only 26% of those people read an ebook.
Yeah.
That's pretty overwhelming in the favor of physical copy. 67?
Yeah, it is. You know, but I'm wondering like how much of this, if we're talking about like, I mean, with most people that I know, it's not the Kindle version or the like PDF version of a book. It's the audio book that where it's like, I didn't physically read a book, but I listened to like 8 books this past year or this past month, whatever it was.
Yeah, but I feel like audiobooks, that's something completely different. You're not actually reading a book. That's not in this conversation. Okay. Audiobooks have its own media, right? Because, you know, they're definitely a viable source of getting through a book, mm-hmm. but you're not sitting down and actually reading the book.
You're not using your eyeballs.
Whether it's an e-reader or a physical copy, you're not physically reading it, you know, mm-hmm. and some people have to do that. Some people drive a ton and, you know, audiobooks are just a great way to get, you know.
Oh yeah, it's just fun to be able to do that kind of stuff while you're driving now. I mean, I'd listen to a lot of books on tapes as a kid. The Ramona and Beezus series. Do you remember those? And the little Indian in the cupboard and like those kind of things. Those were all.
Oh yeah. Indian in the cupboard. I remember.
Yeah. Those were book on cassette tapes that we could rent from the library and listen on our trips down to Florida back then. It was 6 to 8 hours, depending on which grandparent we were going to visit, you know? So we loved doing that because you didn't have Bluetooth or right. cell phones to be able to plug in and put on Spotify or YouTube to watch in the car. Like, geez, it was chaos. But yeah, so I don't know. Do you guys ever think that you'll get back into reading?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely, for sure. I have plenty of books.
Helped out with that a lot.
I already read, comics and graphic novels and things like that. Which I mean, is one thing. I don't consider it like, you know, heavy reading. That's light reading because you're really just like looking at the pictures and enveloping a story. But you know, actual reading, like, you know, I have a couple of books that I either bought or was given as gifts and things like that. Some of my favorite books I like to read over again. You know, like the Lord of the Rings series, any of the books by Ted Decker that I really like any of those. You know, I'll want to, after a while, go back and reread them.
Yeah.
You know, just like watching a movie.
Yeah.
So.
See, my problem with that is the fact that I can turn on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing, is that video games, TV, movies, they always will get in the way of reading a book because it's always like, well, do I physically want to sit here and read, or do I want to just like completely veg out and have something just brainwaved into my head, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Use my irises to soak all this in.
Yeah. I don't know. So, I have such a hard time with that. I mean, because I've had friends recommend books over the, you know, the past year, but at the same time, I have friends recommend movies and stuff, and I'm like, I'm trying to get to those, but I'm still trying to finish the second season of Dark, and I have like, you know, the new season of Apex just came out, and now I'm starting that, and then you got WoW Classic is coming out in August, and then you have Destiny 2 is coming out in September.
Yep.
So I have like, when do you expect me to sit down in one place and open a book and look at words? Like, are you kidding me right now? Have you seen the new like cinematographic things for Destiny? Like, holy balls.
What's crazy is like, you know, somebody like Nicole that travels all the time, you know, she has opportunity to read in the airplanes, in the airports.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like hotels, like things like that. I'm not saying that, you know, she's going to choose a book over a movie or a show every time, but that I feel like that if you're a business person that travels a lot, that has a lot of like in between time where you can't really like, you know, lounge and watch a TV show, reading is a good viable option for you. You can take a book on a plane. You can take a book in the airport and just sit, and you can just sit and read.
Yeah, unless you've heard a podcast. Mm-hmm. Podcasts are a billion times better than
sitting. But that's the thing, is that there's all of this media. Media is just constantly being like forced down our throats, and we always have to decide which path we're going to take, right? Like which way. You mean, like, I can sit here and be like, all right, I don't have to work. I just finished for the day. I have the next like 4 hours, 5 hours before I need to get into bed. Do I want to play video games? Do I want to, you know, work on something productive around my house? Do I want to work on stuff for D&D, make maps, write stories? Do I want to read go read a book, go watch TV? It's like everything is just media focused, you know, and it's something that's going to just catch our attention. We're never going to be in a place of like, oh, well, I'm just going to go sit and read, because, you know, we have to actually make a conscious effort. It's like almost going to the gym. Like, yeah, it's good for you and you know you should do it, but do you want to? No.
Yeah, I could definitely see it like that. And I mean, and that's the thing. There's so many good books out there. I have people recommending things to me all the time, like I said, as far as like good books. And I know if I really just sat down and started, I'd be done in 2 to 3 days with like this whole, you know, giant novel. Like, I love reading when I get into it. It's that initial, like you said, drive and go to the gym kind of thing that is so intense.
Agreed. But all right, so let's change gears once more and go to books being adapted into movies, right? So there's that age-old phrase, the book is better than the movie. That book is better than the movie. Don't even worry about it. And in a lot of cases, that's true. Mm-hmm. However, there are plenty of movies that have done the book justice, and sometimes even movie being better than the book. What are some examples of each one of those for you? What's an example of a movie that didn't live up to the book, one that did the book justice?
We can just start with some of the first book series we were talking about with Animorphs. Do you remember when Nickelodeon tried turning it into a TV show?
Oh, God, it was terrible.
Oh, like, what the hell is that? I mean, like, granted, they tried that early on, and it was Nickelodeon compared to...
Do you think if they did it now, it would be fine?
I don't know, just because we're older. So it's like, it would be, I mean, it was a kid's, or it was a, what, young adult book, a teen book. Young adult. So it's like, you would see it come out and be like, God, this is kind of, it's kind of gay, you know? It's like, this is for like little kids. Like, so I don't know like how I would perceive it as being an adult now into more brutal thing.
I will say, you know, most of the time, 7 times out of 10, the book will always be better than the movie, because again, it comes down to that imagination thing, right? Like, it's like, you know, you read the book and it's like for instance, one of the things is, you know, Harry Potter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, like Harry Potter, you know, great movie. But it's like, you know, when you imagine Harry Potter, you're like, you know, you're imagining the spells, you're imagining how everything works. And sometimes the spells in the actual movie can be a little bit underwhelming, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Expelliarmus, you shoot a little white ball, right? But you may, maybe in your mind, you imagine it more epic or something, right? And then all
The Harry Potter one was one that I always thought that people enjoyed the movies as much of the books. I never, like, that wasn't one that I generally hear people going like, oh man, this one sucks compared to the,
no, absolutely, you know,
the books. As freaking Jurassic Park and Lost World by Michael Crichton. Like, Jurassic Park, the movie, is definitely a good classic. I don't have too much complaints on that. The Lost World, though, the second Jurassic Park movie, it's like they didn't even read Michael Crichton's book. Like,
no, of course they didn't. No, but see, that's zero,
same very, on that. Very... That his book, oh my God! That's a book that I would recommend is The Lost World by Michael Crichton. Go back and read that one. It has nothing to do with Jurassic Park 2, the actual movie. It's just it follows, like, there's a whole section where it follows a pack of raptors like through the jungle, like going on hunting parties and stuff. And I was just like, this is incredible. And I watched the movie and I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? Oh yeah.
All right. So what's a can you think of a movie that exceeded, like, did that was better than the book? Like, you read the book and then you watched the movie and you're like, holy shit, this movie was just 10 times better than what the book
is. I'm going to go back to Harry Potter, and it was actually The Goblet of Fire for me. I thought the movie was way better than the book.
Okay. Interesting. Why do you say that?
Because again, it's one of those things is the tournament, right? And
the Triwizard Tournament.
And it was really hard to kind of depict the situation everybody was in during the Triwizard Tournament, you know, describing the how everything happened, the relationships between everybody else. But the movie did it justice, and the movie did it far better than the book did.
Interesting.
I feel that the movie far surpassed the book 100%.
Okay.
No doubt.
What about you, Josh?
I'm trying to think. I don't know if I have any off the top of my head. Because I'm looking right now at some different ones. Someone actually nominated Jurassic Park as that movie being better than the book. And it's been a while since I read the first one. Yeah. So it's hard for me to really say. Fight Club was another one that people have said. And to me, I watched the movie before I read the book. So I feel like I'm biased on that one, because I do like, well, I would almost say that they were equal, because they both had their own individual things that made them cool. And Fight Club as a movie is fucking impeccable. Like, it was done so incredibly well with amazing actors, shot so well. Like, David Fincher is an amazing director. But Chuck Palahniuk is an incredible writer. And so, like, they teamed up and worked on that project side by side. So it's hard for me to say on that. I'm trying to think if there was anything in particular that I feel that way. You're going to have to come back to me on this. I need to think for a second, because off the top of my head, I don't know.
So, I mean, we can come up with a couple different series that were just as good as the books. I think that Lord of the Rings, you know, pretty much is like the epitome of this book, it equals this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, down to the characters, the casting, the costumes, set. Like, I read the books as a little kid, and when they came out in the theater, it was just like this, oh my God, like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Because it's exactly the way I pictured every single character, every single moment in the books. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's one that I feel like captures it perfectly. The biggest one for me that I think that I remember as a kid being like, wow, this movie is so much better than the book, was The Last of the Mohicans.
Mm.
Have either of you seen that movie?
Yeah. Who?
Oh my gosh.
Kevin Costner?
Daniel Day-Lewis. Kevin Costner is Dances with Wolves.
Dances with Wolves, that's right.
Which is also another one that's, I think the book is better in that case. Jack London, Call of the Wild. No, that's Call of the Wild. But Dances with Wolves is, it was good. But Last of the Mohicans, the movie is just so it's so powerful. It's got great acting. The music is phenomenal. It's super emotional. It's a movie that I can just get, like, I watch it and I can be very, I can be choked at the end. Not like I'm a man, so I don't cry, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I can literally be like emotional by the end of it, because just the way that it's shot cinematically, it's gorgeous, but then also the way that the music is tied to it, you know, it's phenomenal. And the book is written in like old English.
Mm-hmm.
So reading it through that traditional old English style, I can never really get into that same place reading the book versus watching it.
Okay.
So that's my two cents for a movie that ended up being better than the book.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm racking my brain, and I don't know if there's any book that I ever read that I saw the movie that I was like, oh, the movie's way better, or even just a little bit better. Like I said, Fight Club is the one that I would say is fairly equal to me. I enjoyed them both that if I had to recommend one or the other, I don't know if, I mean, I would say movie just because it's easier than sitting down and reading a book. But other than that, like, I enjoyed them both similarly.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because that's, to me, I was a big reader. I loved the imagination part of things. I loved being able to, like, and it doesn't matter, like, who it is. Like, even when I hear, you know, a movie's going to be coming out, like, you know, we're the whole Robert Pattinson thing playing Batman. You know, we know that there's going to be a new Batman coming out. And so we have this image of Batman in our head. And then all of a sudden we're trying to put Robert Pattinson's body in a bat suit. And we're like, my brain, this isn't working with my brain. Like, why? I can't see this. This is not working for me. And it's like, you know, you almost have to take a step back and go, okay, I'm going to trust that they're actors and directors. They know what they're doing. Right. You know, don't freak out about this. But at the same time, like, it's because we have this picture in our head. And, you know, for so many years, I mean, and maybe there's going to be stuff now that they can do. I mean, seeing, like, saw the new Spider-Man today. The special effects and graphics in these things is insane. You know, the trailer for Terminator came on before it. And it's like that compared to like the original Terminator with Schwarzenegger. It's like insane how different things are.
Yeah.
That back then when we were reading Animorphs and they were like, we want to turn it to a TV show. That was 90s graphics.
Yeah.
You know, like early 2000 graphics. They didn't know what the hell they were doing with CGI back then. They just go like, oh, we think we can do this. And they're like, yeah, we'll do it. It's like, do you guys not realize how shitty this stuff was? Like, so I mean, you not only have to deal with that, but I don't know about you guys, but I fell in love with different characters in these things. Like not just like the main character, the hero and stuff like that, but like maybe their female interest or whatever. It was like, oh my goodness, like I'm madly in love with this person the same way that my hero is now. And then they get played by some actress that you're like, I don't really like you. And now you've ruined every bit of this for me because you're a redhead and I was expecting a dark haired, you know, person or vice versa or whatever. It's like, you know, or, oh, you're that actress. I've seen you in 30 other movies. Like I had this completely original picture of this person in my head that you are not. And this is killing my, you know, it's breaking my heart or whatever it may be. I mean, you have from different actors playing the people of either the hero that you have imagined going some kind of way. And even when they get that kind of stuff spot on, it's still not the same as what it was in your head. At least it never is for me. My mind is just weird, I guess.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree for sure. Hey, Luce, do you have any other anything else as far as like movies that are better than books or not as good? Or can you think of anything else there?
Come to my mind again, like the Goblet of Fire one was a pretty big was a pretty big thing to me.
Okay,
that stuck out as soon as you said that.
Sure. Do you think so going back to like the Batman? Just to comment on that, Josh. You know, I learned my lesson after Ben Affleck was cast as Batman and I was like, oh, Ben Affleck, what? Yeah. He would never be Batman. And then he came in and I was like, oh, he's actually a good Batman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you would have think that we would have all learned our lesson with Heath Ledger when everybody laughed at him and then he was just the best Joker ever.
Yeah.
You know, you would think, but you know, it's just, you know, Robert Pattinson, he could be Batman. I could see it.
Well, no, I think it's just our initial reactions to the fact that it goes against the reality of what we have in our head, you know? And when you read a book, you're basically not only instilling this reality and creating this reality, you're reinforcing it over the time it takes you to read the book. So now you're talking about, I don't know, a week, a month, a couple weeks, or a couple months, whatever, if it's taking you longer. And then let's say like, I know my friends that were reading Game of Thrones were reading it in college and it didn't come out until I think it was 8 years later that HBO picked it up as a TV show. So, I mean, here it is that they have all of these characters. I mean, like how many characters are in freaking Game of Thrones? I mean, you have so many. All of these characters, none of them with pictures, all of them completely in these people's heads. And now here we are, we're giving them faces and stuff. from all of them, though, I think that they've enjoyed, I don't know. I mean, I feel like a lot of people have enjoyed the dark or Game of Thrones. I think that, I don't know. Have you seen people saying one side or the other, like, oh, the books are definitely better? Or, I mean, I guess the show is definitely better because it actually has an ending, even if it was a crappy one compared to the books. Who knows if he's ever going to finish writing it.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, have you guys heard either way on people talking about that?
Well, I mean, it's the hardcore Game of Thrones fans that are hardcore TV show fans or the hardcore book reader fans. Mm-hmm. And they form two separate groups.
Yeah.
You know? Basically how that works.
100%.
And the people that are fans of the books think the show's crap. And the think people that are fans of the show don't care what the people that are fan of the books think.
That's a good way.
They never read them.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so I think that, you know, overall it's an interesting concept that we live in the age of, you know, technology, and we use technology so much every day, but here we are talking about like, man, I wish we could find time to read books.
Yeah.
You know, because it's something that I think is hard to replicate whenever you get that, you know, you're painting that picture, that mental image of yourself in or of yourself to yourself through the book, you know. You're reading it and just you're creating that world in your head versus watching it on a screen, you know. And I think that you can get the same effect through an audiobook. So I definitely don't want to like throw that under the bus by any means, because you can hear the words and then paint the picture for yourself. But I think it's a completely different thing to actually sit down and take the time to read them. You know, if you can't actually read a book and you can only listen to it, you know, through audio for whatever reason it might be, you know, more power to you. You know, you're still taking the time to do that versus, you know, anything else, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if you can and you can sit down and read, you know, you're not only engaging your brain, your creative side of your brain, but also the logical, you know, thought provoking, you know, time that you're spending doing that, but you're also supporting, you know, the actual book industry, which is super important for, I think, for kids and for their learning development and things like that. Mm-hmm. I think it's vital for kids to be able to develop their imagination on their own rather than everything that they see on TV and video games and things like that, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's a completely different feeling. I think that, you know, there's no way that shape or form that you can say, oh, well, TVs and action, violent video games and movies, they're what's corrupting our youth. No, it's the parents' behavior and the world's behavior. But at the end of the day, there is something to be said about a kid that can sit and read and get just as much enjoyment over the world that's being portrayed in a book as he or she can see on, you know, in a movie.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing that I honestly got the most out of this podcast was you talking about reading, in the same way that you would go to a gym, that it's, you know, reading isn't something that happens in the same way that Netflix or TV or video games happens, because it's a bit of a struggle. Like, at least, there's probably people out there listening to this. They're like, what the hell are you talking about? I love reading. I'll go, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like we are
the same kind of thing though. There's like the gymaholics that'll go to the gym every day, sometimes twice a day.
Yeah.
The same kind of people.
That it's like, it takes, you know, it is that little bit of getting over that hurdle, you know, that start, you know, like, you know, it's also just the fact of like right now, as soon as we're done with this podcast, I can instantly click on, you know, a Netflix show or movie and start watching it, where it's like, even if I'm inspired right now, I'd have to go like, no, I'm probably going to go on Amazon and order a book and have one shipped here. It'd get here tomorrow. And then I could start reading it. You know, like I don't have a, like, or I'd have to go scrounge to the house and find a book that I've read before and start reading it. You know, like it's so much more of an actual chore of doing that it does take some effort, and it can be, you know, kind of daunting to even get started on that. But it is something that I will never look back at the time that I spent reading and think of it as wasted time. Not the same way that I will with so much of the shit that I've watched on Netflix.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. When I imagine you reading a book, right, I imagine you getting like the Hugh Hefner red silk robe on and sitting on like your armchair, right, with like a mounted bear head on the thing. You know, you got your little like bubble pipe. Yes. You're just like reading a book, licking your finger and like turning the page.
Yes.
All right. I got an idea. All right. So we're going to cultivate it. We're cultivating a culture of change here on the Bonus Level Podcast. And my challenge to you and to myself is in the next month to read a book all the way through, a physical copy of a book, not a manga, not a comic book, not a graphic novel, but a book. It can be any book. Doesn't have to be, you know, in some crazy 600-page book.
Yeah.
But a book. And I challenge you to read it. And then every week, we're gonna ask each other how it's going when we finished it.
Okay.
All right. So today is the 2nd of July. So we'll have till the end of July. You have to the end of July to read a book. And we're going to hold each other to it. And, you know, we'll come up with something if you don't do it. If you don't follow through, we'll get to shave your head or something.
Yeah, just that go ahead and shave your head. I don't want to fucking read a book.
No, so, I mean, and then anybody listening, it's the same thing. You know, whether it's an audiobook, you can listen to it if that's your thing, if you drive a lot. But I challenge you to read a book. Find something that, you know, maybe you'd be interested in reading, a topic or a novel, fiction, whatever it might be, and read it. Read it all the way through and see how you feel about it. It might be something that you're like, oh God, that was painfully awful and I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, you might be like, wow, I think that was like super relaxing. It, you know, calmed me down at night. It made me, you know, kind of de-stress after a long day, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But that's my challenge.
Okay.
Interesting.
I'm down.
So the next time that you go to click on your video game or your Netflix or whatever you might be doing, just think, I can invest 20 minutes or half an hour into reading a book. And before you know it, you'll be done with the book.
Okay. I'm down.
Putting
it in.
There you go. Lucia's in. Josh,
do you guys have any recommendations for books?
If all three of us don't do it, Jack has to shave his head.
Perfect. Oh, no.
I'm in.
Down to his skin.
Do I have any recommendations? Yes, of course. We just talked about all of my recommendations this whole podcast.
Yeah, but those were ones that we read when we were younger. I mean,
No. Pick a book by Ted Decker. I can give you Ted Decker's top five, and you can pick one and read it.
And so you would still recommend those to this day?
Oh, for sure. They're adult books. They're not kids' books.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. Oh no, I'm actually probably gonna look and see if Chuck Palahniuk has written anything new.
See,
I've always loved his.
Yeah, he asked me for recommendations and then he just trashes it. All right, that's my challenge. These two accepted. You all are witnesses. If you're out there in the ether, you're witnessing the acceptance of a challenge. We have until the end of the month to read a book. I mean, technically, you should be able to finish a book in, you know, a week, but I mean, whatever. We're busy, so we'll give us to the end of the month. And anybody, any of the three of us that do not finish the book will come up with some form of punishment.
Sounds good.
Appropriate to the crime. That's about all the time we have this week. And I hope you enjoyed the chat about books and movies and books and all kinds of things with books. And my challenge does continue from us three to you to read a book today. Support your library even. Maybe even, you know, go down, help the old librarian that's there, put away a few books that have been returned. Maybe shuffle through a few newspapers that are about 6 years old. Whatever you might want to do down at the library. You know how in the newspapers they have, you know, they have them on racks, you know, those wooden racks. You remember those?
Yeah.
And you know, they're in like the wooden racks. It's so funny. Anyways, you know, maybe even scroll over to that illumination magnification machine where you like put the old new articles underneath and it like blows it up on the screen. Maybe do that, you know, for like an hour or so. Just play around with it, you know, pretend like you're in CSI or like Criminal Minds and just like looking for things in articles. that sounds like that could waste about 2 hours of your time right there.
Right.
And 2 hours that you could be reading a book. But anyways, I hope you enjoyed. You know, as usual, if you did enjoy the podcast, don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, and retweet on all of our social media pages, Instagram, Twitter, iTunes, Google Play, CastBox, and coming to a dairy farm near you soon. This is Jack, Josh, and Luch for the Bonus Level Podcast. We'll see you next week.
Later, taters.
Laters.